Audio courtesy of TNT. You don't have to fix 34-6.
Oh, I like that.
You like it?
I was going to say, hey, can't win them all. And then
think, that don't rhyme well,
it doesn't,
six.
It doesn't rhyme, but it's more of like a football chant. Mm-hmm. Like a, here we go, Brownies. There's no rhyme there.
No,
but
there is
works.
No rhyme.
However, I like yours. I think yours is good. Because it does,
you can't
it does
win
rhyme.
Them all. You can't win
no, no,
them
my,
all.
No, that was more, can't win them all.
Oh.
Can't win them all.
No, I
but,
know.
But yours does
you
rhyme.
You don't have to fix 34-6.
But do people not want to chant after losses?
I don't know. My mentions are a complete disaster. So I...
Well, this is what happens when we ever build up regular season games. Because then if we're going to build them up and tell you they mean something, and then teams like they can in the NBA,
yeah.
Even the best teams, just ask the Celtics, who have been a 500 team over the last 14 games, when you build up regular season games and they lose, it's like, well, what do we do when the Browns lose? We lose our minds for all week. Well, does that feel like a Browns loss, so now we have to treat it like such? Or can we just treat it like the NBA where, yeah, bad games, had a bad game. It was a terrible game.
Well, I thought it was just a bad game.
Yeah.
And immediately, because I said earlier this week, I said, we don't need to make trades. I don't want to hear about the trade deadline. I think that they've earned the right to either do a great job in the postseason, win the NBA Finals, or they've earned the right to let me down in the postseason. And I understand that what happens during the game changes after the game, 12 hours after the game, you know, whatever. There was a lot of people that I just went, all right, I'm putting the phone away and I'm going to let the rest of the first half just wash over me. And that's what happened. And then the rest of the game was just a disaster. There is something, though, I got to run something by you here before I shoot my mouth off. Because, one, I do think it's going to work out better for a Cavs fan overall. I don't think fans in general, especially in the Midwest, especially a fan of the Cleveland Cavaliers, with our history, with who we've had in the past and how we've won our championship in 2016, I don't think we do well being a favorite. I don't think we do well at all being the favorite. I don't think we're comfortable there. I don't think we like being there. It's very, very hard. We're not at the mountaintop, but it's extremely hard to stand at the mountaintop and keep everybody away. When you're on the chase, it's a much more natural thing to do. You're desiring something. You're striving for something. Think of all the sports movies you've ever seen, every cliche you've ever had. You're always coming from the underdog perspective. So when they beat Oklahoma City last week and you're the best team in the NBA, I think a lot of people are a lot more comfortable after this assing, and it was an assing that happened last night against Oklahoma City. I think a lot more people are where they need to be going, all right, because if you break it down, guys, they're 34-6. They're still a really, really, really good basketball team. But there's certainly things that you would have to go, okay, what can we address instead of just, hey, everything's perfect and everything's fine. I did find it ironic that after George came on with us yesterday, and you could hear that interview, 92.3thefan.com. I don't know if after a loss like that you'd really want to, but either way, 92.3thefan.com. George Yang was on with us yesterday and talked about the calm demeanor of Kenny, and then he got teed up in the first half for yelling at refs, cussing at refs. I'm sure he didn't tell him to have a nice night.
We hadn't really seen that, and yeah, George Yang went to, and I even typed in our little communication engine during the interview, and I'm like, Kenny, was that a shot at Bickerstaff?
I didn't want to... I think maybe it would have hung up on us if we would have said that, but I'm like, well, yeah, he kind of moved on. But I just found it odd that he's so calm, he's so collected, and we don't need to sit there and yell at the refs all the time. And it came off your question about the referee who was quick to tee people up and throw people out of games earlier this week, or last week, I should say. Mm-hmm. And to hear him say, well, Kenny's so much more calm, and then he gets teed up in the first half. When he got teed up, I go, this thing's out of control. This is at one point they had more turnovers than they had made field goals. It was a bad night at the office. I do wonder if Donovan Mitchell struggles against Oklahoma City and it's a bad matchup. I have to ask. 11 points the other night last week, but he finished with 8. But I'm sure you're not really playing him in the second half that much. You're kind of running around. I don't know exactly what you're trying to accomplish there is you're just, I mean, it's a total beating. So I don't know how much I can glean from that. I mean, he only played 21 minutes last night, for crying out loud. I didn't even see him in the second half. Of course, I was kind of just writing some things down in the second half, and it was just kind of playing in the background, I will admit. But when you got a guy who was 3-16 last week against Oklahoma City, then 3-15 this week against Oklahoma City, we're going to have Danny Cunningham in studio at 8:40. I'm going to have to ask him that question.
Well,
is there a matchup problem here, even without the bigs of Isaiah Hartenstein and Chet Holmgren that we don't know about?
Which I think that was the big surprise, because if we were diagnosing a blueprint to beat the Thunder, a team we had already beat, and now you just took away another piece and their lone rim protector, their lone physical presence that's, you know, taller than 6'6", we would have said that, hey, just go inside. Just go inside. Beat the hell out of them. You know, Evan was able to do that in that first game, especially when Hartenstein got in foul trouble. We didn't have to worry about him. So it was going to be a bunch of undersized, and I mean, I say undersized relatively, I mean, compared to Evan Mobley and Jared Allen.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be undersized guys, you know, trying to defend you, guys that were 6 inches shorter than you. So the Cavs, I thought yesterday, I'm like, man, could Evan Mobley get 30 tonight? Could he get 40? Because I did not think, even as prideful as Oklahoma City is, and they are right now, as of today, the favorites on every website to win the NBA championship. So I'm not trying to make them seem like a plucky underdog. Like, but they have heart, and they've been playing without Chet Holmgren this whole time. I was wondering, how are we going to kick their ass? Like, get it down low and do everything you can. What did we end up doing? We couldn't do it because we were harassed to such an extent. Our guards were fumbling the ball, turning the ball over. Evan was getting sloppy with his handle, kind of like last year. We would see that from time to time against mm-hmm. physical, longer teams. And it was kind of a nightmarish scenario. And they just could not get the ball where it needed to be on the court to be able to hammer home their advantage, their size advantage. Yes, they plus. Lou Dort, right now, he is in Donovan Mitchell's head. He just is. And then, of course, Dort, what did he do from 3-point line? 6 of 9, which, you know, they shot lights out in the first three quarters. Rough. They shot lights out. In garbage time, the numbers came a little back down to normal. But Dort had him just suffocating defense. And it's both games. And Donovan really struggled with it because Donovan's not used to having guys around the league that can do that to him. There's only maybe a handful of guys that can do it. And Dort, the numbers, you know, I saw somebody had posted I wish I could give credit. Somebody posted the numbers.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Of that matchup, over the last few years, it is not pretty for Donovan. It's clearly the guy that gives him the most trouble.
I want to hear, Charles Barkley was speaking about this. He was pretty disappointed in the Cavs' output yesterday.
You play 82 games. There's about maybe 10. Be like, okay, we're playing a great team. We can play this team in the finals. Like that last game last weekend, Cleveland, that was a barn burner. I'm surprised the Cavs didn't know they were going to come out and get punched in the mouth. And then they were not aggressive. They were just getting hit with flurries and backing up. And they didn't try to establish no inside game. That's what it says. You know, Jared Allen is 3 for 3. He should have had more than 3 shots. So I'm not sure what they were expecting tonight.
He's right about that, audio courtesy of TNT. I mean, fans were begging them to throw the ball to the block. And there was very little attempt at that. And it's like, okay, are we gonna only win a game one way? Because you didn't really do that last week. You threw the ball inside. There was great, and I thought there was great paint passing from Jared Allen to Evan Mobley, vice versa. Like, you threw the ball inside, and then again without Isaiah Hartenstein. Like, I'm reading before the game last night, like they're talking about trade. It's a calf injury. Like, this is gonna linger for Hartenstein, and they're talking about trade possibilities there with centers. So they can clog things up so they don't get killed inside. And then last night, you don't even try to attempt to attack anything through the paint, which is unacceptable for a Cavs fan. And so I would think, like, Kenny Atkinson has to know that. So I kind of want to know, do I chalk it up to a bad night? Yeah. Is there a real problem here?
I mean, yes, you 100% chalk it up to a bad night.
Then let me ask you this.
It's not that the Cavs are the most perfect team of all time. They've played like it for most of the year. They've got some weaknesses. We've known what those weaknesses are. It's just who the hell's been able to.
We might know what the weaknesses are.
Those weaknesses out of the
exactly.
Cavs.
Well, we kind of know what the weaknesses are, or we've heard what the weaknesses are from like Kenny after a rare loss. But I can't labor on it because you're so good. I'm going, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit here and root for this team to lose just so I can find a weakness of some sort? Like, I don't want to do something like that. I asked you, like, it was last night a bad night. Then I think I got a problem with something here, because I'm going around the internet this morning. I woke up and I'm reading 4 major websites, ESPN, CBS, The Athletic, the whole thing. And it all kind of says the same thing. It all, you know, the game wasn't even as close as it was. And as the final score would indicate, yeah, that's true. And the Thunder are the real team that cements who the best team is in the NBA. Brad Botkin, CBS. I know not a lot of people know that name, but it's just CBS right there at the top. Thunder cement status as NBA title favorite by destroying Cavs, and they still have room for improvement. I mean, it is. I've started to have a problem here because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a great player. He scored 40 points. And so if you think that this is sour grapes, I may stand down. I may get really upset later in the show, but I may stand down. We'll see where it goes. We're looking for the next star. This guy's good. He's a really good player. And our guy has not played that well against Oklahoma City in these last 2 games. Not well at all. Do I just have to sit here and take this? Or am I like, man, all of a sudden Oklahoma City's the cat's ass and we're nothing? We are nothing. Yeah, we are wanting. This is a league, like, your other best rated game was between 2 guys approaching 40, a guy who is 40 and another guy who's approaching 40, and Steph Curry and LeBron James. We're looking to hand off the mantle to somebody. Zion Williamson is just going to ass off and be out of the league, it seems. He doesn't even want to bother with being with greatness
so,
or being,
so what
a,
do you specifically,
being a torchbearer for this. Like, I wonder
what do
if
you
we're
specifically
trying to
object
if,
to?
If Gilgeous-Alexander is undeniable, fine, and I'm not taking anything away from his play, but all of a sudden, last week, I got nothing. You, me, Cleveland, we're whooping it up. We're talking big about Cleveland. And then here it's, the Oklahoma City Thunder are establishing their dominance. The Oklahoma City Thunder with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they are the ones who are the favorites for it. The Cavaliers can't stand it. The Cavaliers have problems. The Cavaliers have to fix things. I'm going, they're 34-6. And I just asked you, are we looking at just a rough night, or are there really serious issues here? So is it one way or the other?
No, I don't.
It can't be both.
I don't think
can't
there
be
are
both now.
Serious issues with the Cavs. My only question.
Maybe Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is that much better than everybody
well,
else.
Well, he's the leading scorer in the league.
Fine.
He's the most consistent player in the league. Every game over the last 2 years, it's been around 30 points. I mean, he just doesn't have clunkers because his skill level is such. He's got that height that Donovan doesn't have. And so that's one of your, if you're asking me, serious problems. No, I mean, we know that Donovan Mitchell has all-time great playoff games. He also is kind of runs hot and cold because it's tough for someone his size to consistently take over the biggest games because he's always got to make up for, you know, that lack of size. Now, Donovan does do that. Darius is the other one. Now, Darius put on a show in that second quarter yesterday. He did start the game out with some careless turnovers and some struggles that really prevented them from getting going and certainly fed into the Oklahoma City establishing their dominance early in that game. I have been on the side of, man, this is so good. This has been so great. The confidence of Donovan and Darius, the way that Donovan is willing to share the spotlight with this young team, that's the stuff that's going to be huge because Donovan doesn't need to score 30 every night. We certainly know if he wants to with the shot selection, he could ramp that up and he could get his numbers up so that he could be considered for an MVP. He doesn't care about that stuff, which I think plays in the long haul better for the Cavs. So I'm not worried about that. In the end, though, what I'm worried about are the same things that stubborn me would worry about anyway. Two small guards. How could two small guards advance in a more physical postseason? Because you saw yesterday, Oklahoma City was allowed to be more physical than they were in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And that paid huge dividends, and that really threw a wrench into the whole game plan for Kenny Atkinson.
So I'm going to ask later, you know, is this a bad night, or are there actually problems with the Cavs? And I'm going to have to ask Danny Cunningham about that coming up at 8:40, because there's definitely people drawing conclusions going, wait a minute, Indiana, what did they do to you last weekend? What did they do to you, even though you won, what did they do to you the other night? And now you have this Oklahoma City team, who is one of the two, three best teams in the NBA, and what they did to you last night. But I'm going, you've refused to throw the ball to the block. If you refuse to do that, how can I make a sane argument for you? And then I look at what the stats are, and I go, this is a bad night. This is a bad night. If we want to crown Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as the torchbearer, fine. The league needs stars. It's a league built on stars. I'll do that. I don't want to have my head too far up my ass and deny somebody their greatness as a person who could carry this league. But Lord Almighty, I read none of this when the Cavaliers won last week. And so, yeah, I'm a little bit bitter about it.